Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Good to have you with us today. I hope you're doing great. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Well, do we have a lot going on? There's a talk radio host from Cumulus, or if you're over at NPR, I believe they call it Cumulus. Cumulus, the radio conglomerate, the network, that's the home of Dan Bongino. They are not very conservative. I just want to get right out of the gate with this. Cumulus Radio, and they have radio stations, and they control conservative talk radio stations around the nation. They are not conservative. Their leadership far left, and they especially have a problem with conservatives who raised questions about the China virus and the vaccine. As a matter of fact, a lot of their employees were fired because they refused to get the vaccine. It was quite a mess, quite a mess. And one of their talk show hosts was fired, and because she cracked a joke about Kamala Harris, and it was not an offensive joke. There was no foul language used, just nothing at all. But she was fired. We're going to have her on the program today. She hopped on with Tucker Carlson last night, did a great job, and we're gonna play some of that audio for you. I will say this, you know, it's important for you to do your homework when you are listening to a lot of these conservative programs that are coming from an organization owned by liberals, because they do control the content. As a matter of fact, I've been told that when it comes to certain issues surrounding the LGBT alphabet people, when it comes to those kinds of stories, there's another major talk radio network that actually refuses to let their talk show host talk about that. Now, many of you, if you are new to this program, you may not realize this, but I actually own a news talk radio station in Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM, the mighty 990, 107.9 FM on the dial, and 990 AM. And we don't do that here. I wanted to make sure, I don't tell our morning talk show host, the great Tim Van Horn, I don't tell him what to say. He has a mind of his own. He has opinions of his own, and he can do whatever he wants to do on the program. We have a lot of other local programs, and we don't tell people what they can and cannot say on the air. We believe in free speech here at my media company. And I think, by and large, the people that listen to KWAM, they appreciate that. As a matter of fact, I am proud to say I know most of the owners who carry this radio program on their stations. And we're on soon to be 120 radio stations around the nation. We have some exciting news coming for you folks in Garden City, Kansas, and Wichita, Kansas. Stay tuned. But I can tell you that I know most of these folks, and they're good, decent, honorable people who also believe in free speech, and free speech matters. And I have nothing against major corporations, but corporate radio has ruined the industry. I mean, it's decimated the industry. And that's a shame. A lot of times when people want to turn on their local radio station to get news, you know what they're getting? If it's a corporate-run radio station, they're getting their news from another city, in some cases another state. And that's sad. You know, we had a tornado outbreak here in the Memphis area, and I can tell you that all of the news coverage was conducted from right here at Ground Zero. So all that to say, I'm really looking forward to talking to this host. She's a great American, and she's just out there doing her job like everybody else. But these corporations are ruthless, just ruthless. And they are no friend to the conservative movement. And I hope you hear me on that. They are no friend to the conservative movement. Now, hey, look, I want to share something with you. We have been promoting an event coming up April 30th. This is a big deal. You know, we talk about mobilizing and we talk about getting people together for to fight for our freedom, getting people out there to fight for the midterm so we can stop this radical far left agenda coming from President Barack Hussein Obama. No, Grace, I did not make a mistake. No, I did not make a mistake. Based on what I saw yesterday at the White House, President Barack Hussein Obama is still president of these great United States. As a matter of fact, it was Joe Biden himself who said he was the vice president.
My name is Joe Biden. I'm Barack Obama's vice president.
You know what got me about that, Grace, is that people were very happy to hear that Biden was no longer in charge. They were hooting and hollering and cheering.
Yeah, the woo! It was like
that sounded like Howard Dean. Remember old Howard Dean?
Yeah.
So Grace, I'm just going to tell you, I know people may question my conservative credentials here.
Uh-oh.
I felt bad for Biden yesterday.
Oh,
I mean, it was like, that was painful to watch.
The clip that was heartbreaking was like everybody left and everyone was gathered around Barack Obama. And then Joe Biden just turns around like, where is everybody?
No one likes me. Nobody likes me.
Lonely. I'm so lonely.
It's like that little kid in second grade who always peed his pants and nobody wanted to be around. That's what I felt. I mean,
sadly,
I felt bad, so
Biden
bad for that guy.
Might do that as well. We don't know. He's getting up there.
Well, depends.
You know what they say about it? Yeah, depends.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the situation.
Grace, that's just terrible. I expect better from you.
I'm sorry.
By the way, I have to brag on Tom Tranup, our good friend from Salem Radio. We were talking last night, and he's out in Dallas, Texas. Great guy, great radio guy. He says, that old Grace Baker, she's a good one. She's a good one.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Tom.
I appreciate it, Tom. Yeah, thank you.
So if Prager or Kirk tries to steal you away, we're going to have a fist fight with those guys.
Oh, I'd pay to see that.
So, all right. We'll take it. Well, I better stop there.
Starnes versus Kirk.
I better stop there. I will say. So anyway, I just felt bad for the guy.
I mean, too.
There's just part of me, and it was just like, wow. Maybe it's because I went to church Sunday and listened to the message.
Your heart was softened.
It was. And I felt bad for the guy. And then he was like, Barack, what about me?
Yeah.
And he wouldn't even turn and look. And then he did turn and look, and Barack just kept right on talking to other people.
You know he's loving being in the spotlight for a minute.
So lonely.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just so lonely.
Got nobody. On my own.
What is that? Is that
it's
a real song?
Oh, the song is called Lonely.
Well, it should be his theme song. But anyway, I felt bad for the guy. And then I realized, When you had Obama out there, then calling Biden his vice president, it just hit me. It's like, boom, there it is.
Yep. And he said, that was a joke. That was set up.
You think it was a joke? Ladies, you know, we should open that up to the audience, Grace Baker. Do you really think that was a joke? Obama had to come back. As a matter of fact, Obama had to tweet again today that he still likes Joe Biden because of the, I mean, how bad is it that you have to, you know, you have to put out a statement saying we're still BFFs. Joey is still my bae. I mean, that's what he wrote. So it does make you wonder. It does make you wonder, was that a joke? Or is Barack Hussein Obama really running the show? And I think he is really running the show here, folks. Joe Biden, unless you're putting some sort of a cocktail into the cottage cheese over at the White House mess, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. Anyway, we talk a lot about this, about taking back the country and mobilizing. And folks, the time is now. We have to mobilize now. And that's why we're excited to be a part of a massive conservative gathering in Memphis. And it's coming up April the 30th. It's a Saturday, a one-day event. And it's held at right off of Interstate 40 at Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. Now, here's the lineup. Todd Starnes, that's me. Senator Marsha Blackburn, Pastor Robert Jeffress, Mark Meadows, President Trump's former chief of staff, Ryan Helfenbein, who is from the Liberty University Standing for Freedom Center. And they have 30 other conservative leaders that are going to be doing all sorts of workshops. This is a hands-on experience. You're just not going to come and hear speakers. There are going to be workshops on how you can get engaged in the culture, how you can take back your community. So we want to encourage you to be a part of this this experience. And I think the tickets are like super cheap, like $20. So you can afford $20, and that's it's $20 well worth it. So all you need to do, if you want to go to this conference, here's what I want you to do. Go to our website and go to the live show blog. You'll see it there. There's a link to the Culture Engagement Summit. Now, if you want to go there right now, you can go to their website, citizensforamericafoundation.com. That's citizensforamericafoundation.com. They've got, a 1,400-seat auditorium. They're hoping to fill that thing up, and I want you to be there. So if you are anywhere in the area or if you want to drive in, we're going to be doing our show live there. It's going to be an amazing day, and we want you to be a part of that so you can join the fight to take back America. And by the way, it's going to happen. Big wins for conservatives. Last night in Wisconsin, we're going to be talking to a talk radio host from the Milwaukee area a little bit later on in the program. All right, look, we've already got folks lined up wanting to weigh in on this, but I am curious. Do you think that Obama was joking, or do you think that Obama really is pulling the strings here? Or is Joe Biden just faking the incompetence? 844-747-8868, that's our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. The website again is toddstearns.com. Click on that live show blog and sign up for the big Culture Engagement Summit coming up on April 30th. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
With the political pressure of the left and the woke mob that is the Democrat Party, our society has ultimately become controlled by the cancel culture elites. Since when have the founders of our Constitution, the American flag, Dr. Seuss, and many other things become anti-American? There's never been a better time in our nation's history to stand up against the woke mob and fight back. And you can do that with this exclusive offer I'm giving to my listeners for a limited time only. Now is your chance to win a signed photo by President Trump himself. That's right. Not only will you be taking a stand against the radical left, you'll be entering to win a piece of history. All you have to do is text the word photo to 55404 today to enter. That's photo to 55404. Join me in standing up for President Trump and canceling the radical left once and for all. Paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee.
Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today. Wow. I'm going to get to this Palm Springs story in just a minute. A lot of you folks weighing in on the Facebook live stream. Hey, let's go to the phones, though. Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Jerry, listening to us on KWAM, the Mighty 990.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. It's good to talk to you again.
Thank you, Jerry.
I wanted to chime in a little bit on this this anniversary for Obamacare and how Obama treated Biden. And you mentioned, you know, a couple of things that he turned away from him. He didn't acknowledge Biden when he tapped him on the shoulder. And I brought back all these memories of how Obama just tolerated Biden because he had to. And if you remember back in 2012, when Obama was running for re-election, they almost dropped Biden. because he was such an anchor around Obama's neck. And if you remember, Barack Obama was forced by Joe Biden to come out for gay marriage. Obama didn't want to do that, but Biden, as usual, is running his mouth, said that they were all for the gay marriage, and then Obama had to come out and back up Biden. So I'm sure that Obama's pulling the strings. I'm sure Obama can't stand Biden.
No doubt about that, Jerry. No doubt about that. There's a lot of bad blood between those two. And keep in mind that that Obama was quoted in private as saying, you know, that never underestimate Joe Biden's ability to blank things up, as he said.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. And then a year before that, he told Biden, "Don't run. You don't have what it takes." It's just amazing. I think that Obama's still pulling the strings, or at least the vast majority of them, and I think he had no choice. I mean, who was gonna run? Harris, everybody hated, right? Buttigieg and Beto, they're no good. You know, Klobuchar's an idiot. I mean, it was the last fish in the barrel. This isn't working out. Thank God, this isn't working out for them at all.
No, it's not. And Jerry, appreciate the call, and thank you for listening to us there in Oak Ridge on KWAM, KWAM. And it's true. There's just a lot of bad blood there. But at the end of the day, Obama's got his people there, Susan Rice being chief among them, and she is more than likely calling the shots on behalf of B.H. Obama. All right, this story out of California. It cracks me up. And you know who ought to be really upset about this are all the gays and lesbians who live in Palm Springs, California. All you heterosexuals, just set aside for a moment. And I want to talk to the gays and lesbians out there across the fruited plain. So the mayor of Palm Springs, who happens to be transgender, his honor, who identifies as her honor, the mayor of Palm Springs pushed through a pilot program that will give a universal basic income to every transgender and non-binary person in Palm Springs, California. Now, Palm Springs is a very posh community. It's very popular among the alphabet people. They love the dry air and the spas. And I'm sure the assortment of fruit juices and, you know, wheatgrass and all that kind of nonsense. They love that place. So it's a very popular desert community, high dollar. And the mayor says, well, you know what? Being transgender, it's just hard these days. The unemployment rate among transgenders and the non-binary folks is just astronomical. So we're going to give a universal basic income of $900 a month to every transgender person, every non-binary person in the city limits. And I hate to break it to the mayor, but thanks to Joe Biden, everybody is suffering from unemployment and inflation. Everybody. Now, the city says that gay people and lesbians say, okay, why should the gays and the lesbians be upset? Because you folks are getting diddly squat. You're not going to get a penny. So if you're gay or lesbian, you're just like the heterosexuals now. You don't matter. All right. So the city council wants to shove all the gays and the lesbians into the closet with the heteros. And the only people that deserve special treatment, the only people who are getting a stipend thanks to this government funded program are going to be the trans people and the non-binaries. Asexuals, I don't know. No, they're not on the list, Grace. I'm sorry. I don't know. Furries, not on the list. So I hope they've got a big closet. They're shoving everybody into that closet except for the trans and the non-binaries. So the city council so there's a group called Queer Works, and they're working with the state, and they wanted millions of dollars for this. But the city's only going to go with about $200,000 right now. But they want about $1.8 million. I hate to break it to the mayor. I think that's illegal to discriminate against gays and lesbians. No, heteros don't count. You people don't count anymore. But the gays and the lesbians, you got to kind of feel bad for them, right? I don't know. Geez, Alou. Maybe go to South Beach. We'll be right back.
Friends, since November of last year, the stock market has plummeted, but gold has been on the rise. Gas prices are insane. The stock market extremely volatile. Inflation is even worse than it was last year, and now we have a war with Russia and Ukraine that could spread to the rest of the world. The markets do not like instability. The good news, you have options. Gold prices are rising as investors turn to gold for protection. Gold provides a hedge against inflation and protects against a weakening dollar. Legacy Precious Metals is the only company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You need an investment that will protect your wealth and retirement. Be proactive while there's still time. Remember 2008? Those invested in gold saw huge gains while others lost their retirements. Legacy Precious Metals can advise you on all of your options for investing in gold and silver. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals, 866-528-1903, or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com.
I know many of you folks are getting ready for Easter Sunday. As I drop my pen, I don't know. Grace, there are like 30 ink pens underneath the table. I just have a bad habit.
Be careful not to slip.
I know. It's not safe around here. So, Grace, I know you go to church.
Yes.
And you're what, one of these Presbyterians? Is that
oh,
right?
Oh, my goodness. Grew up Baptist. Now I'm going to EPC church.
So you backslid is what you're saying. No, I go to church with your...
I'm not going
to
fight on this.
Did I tell you I ran into your family? We all go to church together. Your family.
Yes.
We all go to the same church.
Yes.
So we were having that conversation. Where's Grace? She's at the Presbyterian church.
Oh, my goodness.
We just love poking fun at the Presbyterians.
It's an easy thing to do.
Well, it is, and they were predestined to be poked fun at. So
I mean, listen, they are better at a party. They drink and dance.
Is that right? You see, we don't dance. No, Baptists dance, but we don't do it well. You know, so a lot of people,
it's rough. I've seen it.
It is. We've got no rhythm. Mm-mm. I don't know how that happened, but you know, that's just the reality of it. It's unfortunate. The Episcopalians. I mean, you know, what's the joke? Wherever there are two or more Episcopalians, there's a fifth. So they really know how to party. Anyway, this story. Well, we were talking about Easter Sunday.
Yes.
We're talking about the resurrection of our Lord, and you're talking about drinking and carousing and dancing.
No. Don't try to turn
it
on me.
I rebuke you. Anyway, there's a story on ToddStarnes.com. I cannot believe this story, Grace.
Stay on track.
First United Church of Oak Park. It's one of those woke churches.
Oh.
And man, do they have a beef with white people.
Do we know the denomination?
The Honky Man. You know, I think it's one of these United Church of Christ. I don't. It's one of the far left groups.
Got it.
They really don't worship God. It's. I don't know what they worship,
what
but
it's
not
do?
God. So anyway... First United Church of Oak Park is getting ready to have their Easter services, Lent. And for Lent 2022, that we're talking about 40 days, right? So
yes.
You have, for those of you who are not church educated, you've got Mardi Gras, and then you have Mardi Gras Day, which is Fat Tuesday.
Yes.
And then Wednesday starts Lent. That's where you have to give up all the good stuff. And you got to suffer for 40 days. And I don't know... I'm not Catholic, but all I can tell you is I've run into a lot of Catholics, and they're just in bad moods. And it's very clear they had to give up something that they miss.
Like sugar.
Coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to be around a Catholic during Lent who had to give up coffee.
Oof.
I'm just saying.
Or just caffeine in general.
See, this is why I'm Baptist. We have a higher tolerance for sin. So anyway, they're doing Lent, Grace, and this is the theme. You know, you have theme Sundays, like Bring a Friend Sunday.
Sure.
So theirs is Lent 2022, fasting from whiteness. No, this is true. So the church, First United Church of Oak Park, Illinois, says they are banning any music or liturgies that were created by white people.
Wow.
They say they're going to be performing African American spirituals and Native American songs. Maybe like Tim McGraw. I'm an Indian outlaw. I'm just singing the religious version. Half Cherokee, Choctaw.
What about Carrie Underwood's "Jesus Take the Wheel"?
No, she's a white woman.
That's what I'm saying. You can't use that.
No, you can't. Fanny Crosby. Nope. All the great hymns of the faith. No, she's banned. Banned, I say, banned. So anyway, I guess they're going to be doing some Fitty and Jay-Z. I don't know. And Lil Nas X? Is that?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Did I
or
say that
Chance
correctly?
The Rapper with Justin. Well, wait, you can't use Justin Bieber. I was going to say that song, Holy, Holy, Holy.
No, Justin Bieber is like, he is the epitome of cultural appropriation.
Did you see the suit he was wearing the other day at the Grammys? It looked like a paper bag just thrown onto him.
Well, you know, he's Canadian.
Yeah, and he's got no style.
No, and you've got to remember that. So whenever he, you know, whenever he does something, just remember he's Canadian.
It's a good thing he's got a beautiful wife with style.
He can't help himself.
Oh.
I met his father-in-law, one of the Baldwin brothers. You know, she's a Baldwin.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Haley.
And, yeah, and so this was the born-again Christian Baldwin.
Oh.
Stephen Baldwin. So we were actually at an event together out in California, and we were palling around. And
really?
He's actually a fan of the show.
Wow.
And I had no idea. He kept talking about his son-in-law, and he said nice things about the son-in-law. But and I'm
Justin?
Like, oh, well, yeah, who's he kept saying he was a singer. And I'm like, oh, maybe I've heard some of his music. I had no idea.
Oh, no.
And then he goes, oh, yeah, it's Justin Bieber. And I'm like, never heard of the guy.
No,
I never
you
heard
didn't.
Of the music. I haven't heard of any Justin Bieber music. I'm sorry. I know that makes me an old fogey.
He is talented, but his sense of style has gone out the window.
So anyway, the Biebs. All right, so back to First United Church Grace. You got me off
I'm
off
sorry.
Track here. So here we go. For Lent, this is from the church website. For Lent, it is our prayer that in our spiritual disciplines we may grow as Christians, united in the body of Christ with people of all ages, nations, origins, and races, except the white man.
This is ironic.
So, again, do these people not understand that God made all of us? I mean, we are all made. You know, it was like Adam and Eve. They didn't have, like, black cousins. We all came from Adam and Eve.
Cut from the same cloth.
That's it. I mean, we all came from, well, ultimately, Noah and his sons.
True.
For those of you who, and again, it's, I mean, all these people now, these woke Christians, nobody actually believes the Bible anymore.
They're just making stuff up.
Every single day.
I'm telling you, it's the Message Bible. It's just messed everything up.
Everybody's writing their own versions and just taking out the parts they don't want to agree with.
Basically.
And that's what it is. You know, it's interesting, and people need to understand this. A lot of stuff has changed. Culture changes. Life changes. Seasons change. But God's word has remained consistent. That has been the constant. But nobody wants to talk about that.
They're like, well, I think now God would say this. That's what they do.
Ultimately, these people at this church are heretics, and I'm fairly certain.
It's racist.
Well, it is racist, but this is a form of spiritual segregation.
Agreed.
That they have decided to bow down at the altar of critical race theory, and that's what this looks like, this wokeness. And it's infecting a lot of churches across America. There is a very large church here in Memphis that was once very conservative theologically. It was an evangelical church, one of these mega churches in town. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to name. Should I name the name of the church? I'm not going to name the name of the church. I don't want to go down.
Do you want to stir that pot, Todd?
I don't want to stir that pot. But they were actually holding Bible studies, this very prominent church here in the area. And they were holding Bible studies. And the whole point of the church-wide Bible study was for the white person to repent of the color of their skin. So they had to apologize for the way God made them.
Just ridiculous.
So what these people are saying is that white Christians there's something wrong with you. If you're a white Christian, you are especially flawed, and that you have no right to be involved in the worship experience.
Yep.
So here's my question here. As this church goes through their fasting of whiteness, I noticed that there are no blacks on the staff of this church. I went on the church website and I started looking, and I'm thinking, oh, wow, there are no black people here. As a matter of fact, it looks as though there are only two minorities on staff.
Ooh.
And the people that are making all these dispersions and casting these dispersions against white people are, in fact, Caucasian. So my question is, why haven't they removed themselves from the pulpit? I mean, if this is such a problem, if singing songs from Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant or Fanny Crosby, if that is so offensive, then would it not be offensive if you are the white minister preaching from whatever you're preaching from, because clearly they're not preaching from God's word, the Holy Bible?
No, not even close.
All right, here's my assessment of what is the name of this church here. First United Church of Oak Park. These are godless heathens.
Well, I think for the good of the church, all those white people that are leaders in the church just need to step on down.
You see, I don't think there are any Christians in that church. I don't see how you can be a Christian. This is just like Barack Hussein Obama's church. Remember the Jeremiah Wright? The chickens have come home to roost. God blank America. The America KKK America. Remember that guy?
A little bit. That was a pretty good impression.
Unbelievable. But that's what they're dealing with there. Folks, it matters where you go to church. If they're preaching that kind of nonsense, your preacher's a heretic. Just if you go to one of these woke evangelical churches, you got to get your family out of there. They're preaching Satan's word, not God's word. Critical race theory, white privilege, all this kind of crap. Get out of that church. Folks, I'm just telling you, it's crap. Evil crap. Satan crap. And nothing stinks worse than Satan's crap. So the Old Testament. All right, we got to take a break here. Wow, Grace, we got off on a big tangent. I don't know what.
Know how we got to that point, but that's either. A quote. That's going in the memoir or something right there. God. Nothing stinks worse than Satan's crap.
It's
can
true.
Can we say crap?
You can. You can. It because you know why? Because you don't work for Cumulus. That's
true.
Why. All right. Jeez, Alu. Hey, friends, I got to tell y'all about the stock market. I was at the grocery store the other day. I got, no kidding, 8 items. And they were not big dollar items. My bill was almost $100. And I'm looking at the cashier, and she was like, what do you want me to tell you? Look, it's getting crazy out there. Gas prices, unbelievable. The stock market, it's just volatile. Inflation, it's worse than it was last year, and it's only getting worse. And the markets don't like instability. So you've got problems, but I've got good news because you've got an option. You see, gold prices are rising as investors turn to gold for protection. And gold actually provides a hedge against inflation, and it also protects against a weakening dollar. And there's only one place that I get my gold, Legacy Precious Metals. I trust these guys. I trust them implicitly for investing in gold and silver. And you need an investment that will protect your wealth and your retirement. And that's why I want you to call Legacy Precious Metals today. Be proactive. There's still time. Just remember what happened in 2008. There were plenty of people who invested in gold. They saw huge gains while others lost their retirements. And I don't want you to be in that place, in that situation. Legacy Precious Metals can advise you on all of your options for investing in gold and silver. You can also speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals. Write this number down, 866-528-1903. That's 866-528-1903. Or you can download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
I
I hear it all the time from people. These high interest rates on credit cards are insane, especially when you factor in inflation. So if you're tired of paying high interest rates on your credit card debt, I've got a great solution. You got to check out my friends over at LightStream. A lot of people don't realize this, but credit cards can have terribly high interest rates. Even if you've got excellent credit, your APR could be 20%, 30%, or even higher. So stop paying and take control of your finances with LightStream. LightStream believes people with great credit deserve a great rate. And that's just what they give you. Loans range from $5,000 to $100,000. And by the way, you can roll your credit cards into one low payment at a fixed rate as low as 5.73% APR with auto pay and excellent credit, way lower than most credit cards. If you've got a lot of credit card debt, you might feel stuck with those high rates. But with LightStream, you've got an option that can actually work for you. Apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. Go to LightStream.com/freedom. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/freedom for more information.
All right, now we're cooking. Hello, everybody. Good to have you with us. Todd Starnes here. So glad you're hanging out with us here in the beautiful Liberty University studios. And by the way, that's the solution. You want to know the solution to what's wrong with America? We need more kids going to Liberty University. That's where, if we're going to fix everything that's broken, we need to get kids into Christian universities that are rock solid and teaching the kids to love America and to fight for our country. Liberty University, they do a great job of that. Hey, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Let's talk to Bob. Hey, Bob, what's going on?
Nothing much. You're talking about the critical race theory. That's just a pack of lies. Sort of like the lies they're making up about Donald Trump calling Putin, trying to get a favor. They're just making up stuff. Here they go.
That's all they do, Bob. That's all they do. They lie, and nobody calls them out. Well, we call them out on it, but the mainstream media, they get away with it every single time, Bob.
Yeah, I tell you. I was going to ask you, I live up near Lake Hartwell. I was going to see if I could use the handle Hartwell Bob when I call.
Hartwell Bob. You know what? Let me think about that for a moment. I kind of like that idea. Great. Yeah, I mean, we got Joe from Ella J, and we've got Hartwell Bob. All right. Yeah. You know what, Bob? I think we're going to let you do that. You might start a trend.
Yeah, sure enough.
All right, Bob, Hartwell Bob from Georgia. Thanks for calling in today, and thanks for listening to the program. We do love our affiliates, and I am proud to tell you that every single radio station that carries this program, I've talked to every one of the owners. And they are committed to standing up for freedom and liberty. And that says something. And I hope that you go out of your way to support those radio stations because we are the lifeline. God bless Elon Musk. And I hope he really can turn around Twitter. As a matter of fact, Substack is hiring and they put out a note just earlier this morning, and they said, hey, we are hiring. We're looking for the best in the digital business, but if you work for Twitter, yeah, we don't want you. Yeah, you are not welcome if you're an employee of Twitter. And I can't say I blame them one bit. Not one bit. Who wants people on their staff that are going to be squelching free speech? Who wants somebody like that? By the way, coming up in the next segment, we've got a story. It is staggering. I wish I could say I'm surprised by this, but they've been asking college students, young people, whether or not they would stand up and defend America. And a frightening number of young people say they would not do that. They would that if the United States of America was invaded, they would not stand up and fight for freedom. So we're going to talk about that in the next segment. And I am curious to hear from you. What would if you are a young and especially if you're a young person, let's just say that we have a full scale invasion. The Mexicans decide they're going to send their army across the border in addition to their people. But if they're going to send their army across the border, would you stand and would you fight? Is America worth fighting for? And you see, this is the problem when you're out there in a public school and you're teaching kids that there's something wrong with America, that our founding fathers were a bunch of racists, that our founding fathers were slave owners and they hated black people, and that our country's founding documents are irrelevant. There's a price to pay for that, because sooner or later, you've got a generation of young people who are now suddenly ashamed to be American. I was watching last night, I'm a big documentary guy, I was watching Ken Burns' documentary on Benjamin Franklin. And I couldn't even get through the first hour of the program because the people were attacking Benjamin Franklin and his credibility because he owned slaves. And that made him a horrible human being. So this is what they're doing now, going back, rewriting history, trying to shame you. And God forbid this country is ever invaded. My question is, how many of us would be actually willing to take up arms and fight for the nation? All right, we got to take a break here, folks. So we're coming right back. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Well, our good friend Mike Lindell is back at it again. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. Mike Lindell not only created the best pillow, but now he's created the best towel in the world. That's right. Mike Lindell found the best towel company right here in the USA. They have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft but actually work. And they're all made with USA cotton. They come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. Get this, folks. You're going to get a six-piece set, two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths made with USA cotton, soft yet absorbent. Normally $109.99, now just $39.99. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Just enter the promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 for these great radio specials. That's 800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hello, people of the planet Earth. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So glad to have you with us today. By the way, all you folks out there in Kansas, get ready. We're coming to town. That's right. The radio program we're launching in Wichita and Garden City, Kansas. We'll be telling you more about that later on this week. But we're looking forward to having you officially join us as a part of this national radio show coming up on Monday. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. Hang tight if you're on hold. We're going to get to your calls and just a matter of moments. Also, our website, toddstarnes.com. If you have not already done so, I want to invite you to check out our free podcast and newsletter. Those come out daily, and we would love for you to subscribe to those two items. All right, there was a big election last night in Wisconsin, and it was a good night for conservatives, a good night for Republicans. There was some weird stuff that went down, too, and we're going to get to all of that. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line here in our Liberty University studios. We're honored to have with us a great talk radio host, Dan O'Donnell from WISN and WIBA. You can also hear his show on the iHeartRadio app. Dan, good to have you with us.
Well, Todd, you're far too kind. Thank you, and it's great to be on your show.
All right. So, look, I was the thing that really excited me about the Wisconsin races, and this is not getting any national coverage, is that you had a lot of moms, conservative moms, running for school board races, and they did incredibly well across the state.
Yeah, in fact, in one of our suburbs, they even dubbed themselves the Moms on a Mission, and they ran on basically a joint ticket, if you will. They won all three seats on the school board that were up for grabs last night. In the city of Waukesha, which is the biggest in our area that's not Milwaukee. Milwaukee, of course, is the biggest liberal city in the state, and it elected a predictably liberal mayor, but all around in pretty much every suburb up and down the state, you had people like these Moms on a Mission. They were parents who were just disgusted with what their local school boards were doing. And I'll give you a small taste of what it was like here. Our Republican gubernatorial candidate, Rebecca Clayfish, she's the former lieutenant governor. The Wisconsin Democratic Party put out a tweet late last night crowing about the fact that 16 candidates she endorsed lost. All right? 16 candidates Rebecca Clayfish endorsed didn't win. She endorsed 115 candidates, which means her success rate was something like 86%. It was just amazing how well conservatives did.
And even in Kenosha, which I understand they elected a Republican executive after decades of Democrat rule.
Yes. In fact, Samantha Kirkman, I believe, is the first Republican and first female county executive. Now, I'm sure your listeners remember August of 2020, Kenosha was the site of heavy rioting following an officer-involved shooting, which, of course, was completely justified. Donald Trump was the first Republican to win Kenosha County in 2020 since, I believe, Richard Nixon. And now you see this county going far more conservative. And this is the southern part of the state. So geographically, we're very close. We're within 90 miles of Chicago. Kenosha is basically a Chicago suburb. So you think about how Democratic Chicago is to have Kenosha, which has a whole lot of Democrats who don't want to pay Democrat taxes in Illinois, living there. This is a huge, huge accomplishment for the Republican Party.
Dan, I'm wondering what your listeners are saying, and what is the takeaway from what happened last night?
Well, the takeaway is that the way to win local races, not just in Republican areas, not just in Wisconsin, but across the country, is to get organized. In Waukesha County, which is pretty much our biggest Republican county, there's an initiative called WIS Red, and it's run by the local Republican Party there. And what it is, in the spring elections, these are nonpartisan elections, which means there's no R or D next to any candidate's name. So the biggest challenge in spring elections here is knowing who the Republicans, who the conservatives are. Even in nonpartisan races, they break down along ideological lines. What WIS Red did is vetted hundreds of candidates running throughout Waukesha County and put together a voter guide. It's an easy PDF form to read.
What a great idea.
Isn't it? I can't believe nobody else has thought of this. So I basically spent my radio show today begging the state Republican Party to do this in every one of Wisconsin's 72 counties. And I'm going to similarly beg every county, every state that you broadcast in, Todd, please, please do this. In nonpartisan elections, get involved, invest the money, invest the time, invest the volunteers and paid workers, because it really does pay off, just like it did in Wisconsin.
You see, we're in the same situation in Memphis, where we broadcast this program from, and we've got elections coming up. We actually have a Republican on the county commission in the Memphis area who actually was the deciding vote to force businesses to mask up. So, yep. And again, you see a Republican by the name, and you're kind of surprised. Well, you know what? If you had a voter guide and you knew the positions of these people, folks would have a much better idea of who to vote for on Election Day.
And this is exactly what I've been saying for quite some time. The WIS Red initiative has been going on for something like two or three election cycles now. And it's just so invaluable that, you know, when we talk about, as radio host Todd, and we talk to conservatives and talk about the importance of the grassroots, this is what we mean. I mean, George Soros, made a concerted effort to get involved in district attorney's races years ago. Why was that? Because he knew that to stop enforcing laws, you get into place people who are going to stop enforcing the laws. You might remember Milwaukee County, the district attorney here, John Chisholm. Do you remember the Waukesha Parade Massacre?
That's right.
From right around Thanksgiving. A guy ran over six people, killed six people, injured about 50 more when he ran his SUV into the Waukesha Christmas Parade. He was let out on bail for running over his girlfriend with his SUV just days before that massacre. John Chisholm was the reason that happened. In order to get people like John Chisholm out of office, he's not up for re-election until, I think, 2024. But you've got to get organized. You've got to put as much money and as much attention into these races as the left does. And this to me is elementary. If you want to retake the presidential race, you want to retake Congress later this year, you do that by winning at the ward level, at the county level, at the municipal level, and that all that goes into that is winning these races everywhere you can.
Dan O'Donnell is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and Dan, one of the other weird races you guys had was the mayor's race, and as you mentioned, Milwaukee, far leftist, we get it.
Yeah.
But I want you to tell our listeners about this guy. I mean, this is shocking, this guy's background. Shocking.
It's amazing that you knew about this, Todd, because even media in Milwaukee is not reporting this. Our new mayor is a guy by the name of Cavalier Johnson. He's 35 years old, and if you've heard anything about him in mainstream media, it's likely the fact that he's the first elected black mayor in our city's history. What you haven't heard about him is that last week, just days before the election, his brother was arrested in connection with a drive-by shooting from early January. That's right. You heard that right. The mayor's brother, who is serving as acting mayor after our old mayor left to become Biden's ambassador to Luxembourg, was involved in a drive-by shooting. He shot a guy, allegedly, in the neck, in the back of the head, in the chest. The guy miraculously survived and seems to be doing okay 3 months later. But the mayor's brother, a guy by the name of Alan Addison Jr., was hiding out in Milwaukee for the past 3 months. Now, Johnson is saying, I didn't talk to my brother. I had no idea what was going on. Nobody believes that. The guy was hiding out in a house that had a Vote Cavalier Johnson sign on the front lawn and is owned by the Johnson family. You're telling me he had no idea where his brother was hiding. As if that wasn't bad enough. And I'm going to ask your listeners who might have children listening or sensitive ears here, because this is a truly shocking, heinous crime. In November, just after Thanksgiving, the mayor's nephew, a 14-year-old boy, was arrested and charged with the sexual assault of an 87-year-old woman as she tried to drop off a book in front of the Waukesha Library. He assaulted her at knife point and tried to steal her car. This is this guy's family, and he may have been aiding and abetting his brother's flight from justice for 3 months.
The next mayor of Milwaukee, who, by the way, espoused in one of his statements on election night that he wants to promote family values. So,
yes, he did.
There you go. There you go. Dan, this is good intel. And I think the takeaway, though, is that it is all about running and winning local races and getting involved on the grassroots level. That's how you're going to eventually change what's happening, not just in the state, but also in Washington. And it sounds like you guys have done some great work there. Congratulations for the great work of your radio program as well.
Well, thank you so much, Todd. I really do appreciate that.
All right, folks, we're going to get Dan back with us sometime down the road here. Dan O'Donnell, he's host of the Dan O'Donnell Show on WISN, also WIBA, two great radio stations there in the Milwaukee area. Dan, all right, get some rest, man. I know it was a long night for you guys.
I think I'm going to take a nap right now.
Good.
But I'd love to come back on anytime you'll have
it. We'll make that happen. All right, everybody, Dan O'Donnell. All right, before we go to break here, can you – wow. You talk about the Democrats. They know how to pick some winners, don't they? Jeez-a-loo. All right, let's go to the phones real quick. North Carolina, Creed has been on hold. WHKP. Creed, welcome to the program. I know you want to weigh in on these kids and whether they would stand up for the country.
Hey, let me tell you something about the kids. If they get whipped from home, they don't get a whipping at school. That's something I've found. We took that out of the school. That's people who won't stand up and fight. They don't get punished.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up, Creed, because you are right. I mean, there is no discipline in the public school system anymore. And it does seem to me that if you instilled a little bit of discipline and actually taught the kids what America is really all about, then it and to they would understand that this is a country worth fighting for. But they're not doing that in the public schools these days. Creed, got to run. Thank you for calling in. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This Wall Street Journal report, would young people fight for America? It is a fascinating, fascinating essay in the Wall Street Journal. And the jumping off point here was a recent poll that showed a plurality of young people would flee from war if it came to the United States. They no doubt feel discontented with America's modern reckoning with the sins of its history. Perhaps they feel our national destruction is deserved. Worth noting that is that it costs nothing to give a patriotic answer to a survey question. If a land invasion of the U.S. were to occur, we should probably expect an even higher percentage of the population to flee. Do you believe that to be the case, ladies and gentlemen? This is a shocking, shocking essay based on a survey that a plurality of Americans would not stand and fight for America. What say you? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
With the political pressure of the left and the woke mob that is the Democrat Party, our society has ultimately become controlled by the cancel culture elites. Since when have the founders of our Constitution, the American flag, Dr. Seuss, and many other things become anti-American? There's never been a better time in our nation's history to stand up against the woke mob and fight back. And you can do that with this exclusive offer I'm giving to my listeners for a limited time only. Now is your chance to win a signed photo by President Trump himself. That's right. Not only will you be taking a stand against the radical left, you'll be entering to win a piece of history. All you have to do is text the word photo to 55404 today to enter. That's photo to 55404. Join me in standing up for President Trump and canceling the radical left once and for all. Paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee.
Democrats are building a better America for the future and for the people. What are Republicans doing? I don't know. But last week, Republican Congressman Madison Cawthorn bragged about being invited to cocaine-fueled sex orgies by senior Republicans. Don't believe me? Search for Madison Cawthorn Republican Caucus on the internet.
All right. Well, he's technically not wrong there. That's Congressman Ted Lieu, the Democrat from California, the godless heathen Democrat. But I will say this in defense of the Republicans who do not participate in orgies. They're good and decent folk. I'm curious to know if Congressman Ted Lieu has actually seen Hunter Biden's laptop. Has he seen what Hunter Biden was doing? Now, we've got no proof. Madison Cawthorn, when he was called out on all of this, he said, well, I actually saw some guy who may or may not have been doing something in a parking lot, and that's about it. I mean, Madison Cawthorn lied. I mean, there's really no way around it. He lied. But we know that Hunter Biden actually participated in all sorts of behavior that would make the people of Sodom and Gomorrah blush. And he also allegedly did it with a bunch of underage girls. So if Congressman Ted Lieu wants to have a conversation about orgies, well, let's have that conversation. But let's be honest about it, Ted. All right, let's get to the phones. 844-747-8868, Gainesville, Georgia. Larry on the line. Larry, you're on the air.
Hey, Todd, you sound like a good old Southern boy to me. How are you?
Well, better than I deserve, and I hope so, Larry. I'm born and raised in South Haven, Mississippi.
I still make you Southern. I don't care. Hey, a couple things. You were talking earlier about apologizing for being white. You know, white is a color, and the Salvation Army, a couple of months ago, they had said to ask us to apologize for being white. I quit supporting them for a while, and my conscience bothered us. Well, they do a lot of good work, but I'm ashamed of the Salvation Army to do that. And you know what? I don't understand the Republicans, what they're trying to do, especially the radical Republicans. They're afraid to offend somebody, I reckon. I appreciate you because you're not afraid to offend. You tell the truth. We need to do that. We need to take America back and vote these sorry rascals out. America, we are good people. We forget very quickly, and we go back to the same thing. God help us.
They do, Larry.
That's what I wanted to say, Todd.
And Larry, I'll tell you, chief among them is Mitt Romney, Willard Mitt Romney. That guy needs to, the good people of Utah need to vote that guy out of office. But I don't know what they're doing over in Utah. I will say this, and Larry, we'll let you go here. God bless you, sir. Thank you for that great call. The governor of Utah, do we have this audio? All right, this is the governor of Utah giggling to a bunch of school kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. I am Governor Spencer Cox, and I have the pleasure today of hosting the first One Utah student town hall. And my preferred pronouns are he, him, and his. I believe in helping young leaders.
Stop right there. Stop. You know what? If you're a grown man and you've got to tell people your pronouns, just turn in your man card because clearly you don't have any man parts. Good golly Wally. All right. Got to take a. That's the Republican governor of Utah. They got problems in Utah. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Hope you're doing good wherever you might be across this great nation of ours today. Very disturbing story. And as soon as I heard about what happened to Amber Afy at the radio station she used to work for, I reached out on social media. And it's just appalling. She wrote an essay about what happened, and we have a link to that up on our live show blog. But in a nutshell, she was fired, terminated from her position at WMAL, a Cumulus-owned radio station. Amber is also the Spectator's Washington editor and a senior fellow at the Steamboat Institute. She is a very well-known individual in conservative circles and an incredible journalist and a great American patriot. And she is also right now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Amber, good to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Amber, I want you to take us through what happened, what led up to your firing at Cumulus.
Definitely. So during the State of the Union address on March 1st, I decided to make a tweet making fun of Kamala Harris's outfit, which was pretty unpopular. I think it's safe to say that most people didn't find her brown pantsuit to be very attractive. So the tweet in question said, Kamala Harris looks like a UPS employee. What can Brown do for you? Nothing good, apparently. Obviously, just the use of the UPS slogan, which referred to the company's uniform, to just say that I didn't like her pantsuit. And a few days later, you know, the tweet didn't really catch any attention, or at least any negative attention at first. It was a few days later when I got into another spat on Twitter with some left-wing activists over their protest of an event at the University of North Texas that called for banning medical transitions for children who claim to be transgender. It was after I spoke out against that that these left-wing activists had to go back and find something that they could try to silence me over, and they settled on this tweet about Kamala Harris's outfit, started to redefine it as racist, and sent a whole bunch of emails to my various employers trying to get me fired. And unfortunately, Cumulus was the one employer that actually complied with the request and fired me on March 9th.
Now, you were a part of Larry O'Connor's show, is that right?
That's correct.
All right, and how long were you a part of the station there?
I was officially on board for 6 months, but I've been a frequent guest host for about 3 years now, and I first started appearing as a guest or a co-host on O'Connor and Company around last spring. So I had been on there for quite a while and, you know, never really had any problems with anyone there. And I do want to say that Larry has been very outspoken in his support for me. He has actually talked about the situation on his show. And this was clearly a corporate decision, because nobody at WMAL even knew that I was going to be fired until I got the phone call from these corporate executives.
And in fairness, Amber, yesterday during the White House ceremony, you had Obama and Biden and Harris wearing that same Brown outfit. And you're right. I mean, she looks just like a UPS driver. I see nothing racist about that. And I saw nothing racist with what you wrote. And I'm wondering, what did they tell you? So you didn't realize there was a problem until what, you got a phone call.
Exactly. I actually hosted the show that morning. It was a Wednesday morning, and I was on the show every Wednesday and Thursday. And I received a phone call a few hours after I got off the air from Jeff Bowden and Christian Pancelis, who are both with Cumulus. They're both hold executive level positions. They told me that they had been made aware of this tweet and that they believed it was racist and that I had violated the company's social media policy, and they were terminating me effective immediately. I wasn't offered the chance to defend myself, and the phone call ended after I asked them if I could at least make a statement just to put in the record. But, you know, their response was basically too bad, so sad, and we'll send you your last pay stub, and that's that.
Amber, I know it had to have been a shock, and I'm wondering now that you've had a chance to decompress and analyze what happened, what's the takeaway for you from what happened?
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, I think it's really unfortunate that we live in a country that clearly is not very free or democratic if you can't criticize the most powerful woman in the country. And I'm also really concerned about the future of conservative media, because if we are, you know, having our outlets sit under these huge corporations that act no different than places like Disney or Coca-Cola or these other corporations that speak out under activist pressure, then all of us can be fired at a moment's notice for not doing anything wrong. There would be no Rush Limbaugh. There would be no Ben Shapiro, Mark Levin, Dan Bongino. All of these people would be driven off the airwaves if all it takes is some dishonest activist on the left calling you a racist.
Yeah, try not to say Dan's name here. We're actually competing in the same time slot, Amber. Jeez, hello.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm kidding. Let me call HR, Amber.
Oh, no.
Not again.
Canceled again.
Not again. Amber Avey is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. You know, Amber, the other component of this, and I know they're saying it's about the tweet. I'm wondering if it really is about the transgender issue, because that, especially in the conservative media, and I can tell you at Fox News especially, they really frown on that kind of stuff and very sensitive. And a lot of the, like you said, these conservative media outlets are they're getting really woke on some of these issues.
You're exactly right. I mean, it definitely could have been that. I've heard from former Cumulus employees, actually, who have told me that apparently the CEO has a transgender child. So it's highly possible that some of these emails got up to her and she saw what I was arguing with people about and decided that that was the reason. But, I mean, if that's the case, if they weren't really firing me over the Kamala Harris tweet, then not only are they cowards, but they're also liars, too.
Well, I wouldn't put it past them. And they have done some pretty despicable things over the past year and a half or so, going back to the mass firings over the vaccine mandates. And they got rid of a lot of good conservative talk hosts. And it's my understanding that some of the hosts have actually been told to steer away from some more controversial issues out there. I mean, it's really disturbing that this is happening, and especially to conservative talk radio.
I completely agree. The vaccine mandate was a huge issue. It was around the time that I started working there that they implemented that policy. And there were some very talented people, and not just hosts, but also, you know, board operators and producers and bookers who had to leave the company because they had reasonable objections to getting the vaccine. And I thought that was a really sad thing. And unfortunately, just a sign of what was to come for my own future at the company.
So let's talk about your future. I know you were on Tucker's show. Have you heard anything else from Cumulus? Have they reached out at all to try to fix this?
I've heard nothing from Cumulus. I know a lot of media outlets have reached out to them trying to get their comment on the situation, and they have ignored all the inquiries. I certainly don't expect at this point that they would want to have me back. I've blasted them pretty publicly, and I haven't really held back. And so, which I don't blame them for that. I don't even know if I would want to go back to work for them at this point after what they did to me. I just thought that everybody needed to know about it. And I mean, I'm going to be fine. I still have my job at The Spectator. I'm actually finishing up a book on cancel culture, ironically enough, at the moment. So I have plenty of projects ahead of me. And, you know, if another station wants to pick me up, I'd be thrilled. But if not, it's not the end of the world either. I just thought this was an important story that I had to share.
Well, and I'm glad you did. And Amber, we're gonna talk beyond this conversation about that. I own the news talk station here in Memphis, Tennessee, and we'll see how things go there. But certainly we're going to do our best to help you find a platform. And like you said, you're an amazing writer, and you're gonna be just fine. But I think it really says a lot about the state of the corporations that control most of the conservative talk radio world.
Definitely, and corporate media is not just a leftist problem. This is a right wing problem too, and we have to make sure that we are, you know, rewarding people who do good work and also building our own platform so that we don't have to worry about people who don't understand our values and our politics making these decisions that ultimately affect our ability to speak freely on the air.
All right, Amber, we're going to leave it there. Where do you want us to direct people? Where can folks go to get more information about what you do?
Sure. People should go to spectatorworld.com to check out my articles and my reporting. And I'm also on Twitter at Amber_AC.
All right, Amber, best of luck to you, and you hang in there. I know it's tough right now, but it is, you're going to be just fine. And let us know how we can be of help.
Great. Thank you so much, Todd.
All right, Amber Athey, everybody, a victim of the culture war and the cancel culture. And I'm telling you, Cumulus may say it was about Kamala Harris. That joke was not a fireable offense. But talking about the transgender movement and some of these conservative-owned conglomerates, that is a fireable offense. And when she said that when the attention was drawn to her because of the transgender stuff, that was it. But I'm telling you, folks, no, we were just joking about Bongino. We're just kidders. But I'm telling you, it is a dangerous thing. And I think Bongino has discovered this. That is just, it's just tough. If you are controlled by a conglomerate, they tell you what you can and you cannot say. There is no free speech over there. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. You just heard Amber on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, And we love Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. Have you made the switch yet? You really need to. I mean, what are you waiting on? It's super simple. All you need to do is go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. And they have all the info there for you. By the way, go ahead and write down my name, T-O-D-D, Todd. That's the promo code. You're going to get great discounts, free gift, and free premier activation of your phone once you become a subscriber. By the way, if you're a veteran, if you are a first responder, they're going to give you an even bigger discount. That's patriotmobile.com. You can also give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Use the promo code Todd, and let's mobilize for freedom, America.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Joe Biden. Folks, we're going to play some audio for you. I'm assuming this is a joke. I hope it's a joke. I don't know. Here's Joe Biden talking about World War III. Let's take a listen.
This war can continue for a long time, but the United States will continue to stand with Ukraine, the Ukrainian people in the fight for freedom. And I just want you to know that. And by the way, if I got to go to war, I'm going with you guys. I tell you. I mean it.
I don't know, folks. I don't know. So there you have it. Joe Biden says that if I got to go to war, I'm going with you guys. By the way, Biden, yesterday, the White House, Little Red Lion Hood, Jen Psaki, Peter Ducey called her out and asked about whether or not Biden still stood by his son, said, and if he still stood by his statement that he never discussed his son's business. Well, that's not true, because we now know that back in 2013, Joe Biden met Hunter Biden's Chinese business partner during an official business trip in China. And 10 days later, Hunter Biden scored a $1.5 billion deal with China. Now, how is that possible for a guy who now paints watercolors professionally? A guy who has absolutely zero business experience. Aside from, I don't know, finding discount drugs. In 2017, Joe Biden actually wrote a letter of recommendation for the son of Hunter Biden's business partner. So none of this is making any sense. And you do wonder if we're going to be able to get to the bottom of this scandal here. And that's what it is, a scandal. By the way, WorldNet Daily is now reporting on some intel from the grand jury. They're reportedly wanting to know who the big guy is. Who is the big guy? You know, there have been a lot of talk, a lot of conversation about that. Who is the big guy? Well, we all seem to believe that the big guy is, in fact, Joe Biden himself. He's the big guy that got the cut. You got to get the big guy his cut. And that's what WorldNet Daily is reporting today. Also, we're hearing word that the Durham report, by the way, when is that Durham report going to come out? Hopefully sometime this century. Art Moore, writing for WorldNet Daily, in a court filing late Monday night, the special counsel probing the origins of the Russia collusion story. They now believe this to be true, that Hillary Clinton and her operatives and her campaign formed a joint venture to undermine Donald Trump and bolster her chance of becoming president. Now, they can call that a joint venture, but what that is a conspiracy. John Durham's filing featured new evidence to back his operating thesis. It's a text message showing Clinton lawyer Michael Sussman lying to the FBI, telling the FBI he was not working on behalf of any client when he delivered to the Bureau the bogus claim that would be the Steele dossier that Donald Trump had secret communication channels with the Kremlin. Our good friend John Solomon over at Just the News got this exclusive. In his filing Monday, Durham wrote, the parties, talking about Sussman and the Clinton campaign, acted as co-conspirators. Now, if this is true, ladies and gentlemen, and if Durham has the goods, he's got the evidence, then clearly Hillary Clinton is in legal jeopardy here. Jonathan Turley says the text message greatly strengthens the case against Sussman by undermining the argument that his concealment of the role of the Clinton campaign was a one-off occurrence. Quote, this could be used to show intent as part of a pattern of deceit. That's coming from Jonathan Turley. So you say, Todd, what does all of this mean? Well, it means that the Durham report continues to uncover. They're getting close, but they're not there yet. But when they are, this could be very bad news for Hillary Clinton and the Clinton crime syndicate. Not to mention Barack Hussein Obama, because you can't tell me that Obama didn't have his communist hands all over this stuff. You can't tell me that. All right, more to talk about on that issue coming up. 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now, here's an interesting story. This is from The Ohio State University. Hello, everybody, by the way. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Good to have you with us. If you are a liberal, prepare to be triggered. So here we go. Leaked audio from a student leader at the Ohio State University revealed that he would like to live in a world where black people are taught that they are superior. According to the student leader, white people have been taught that they are superior, so he would like that flip to put black people on top. This is coming from the libs of TikTok. The student says that he would love to live in a world where black people are taught that they are superior because he full-heartedly believes that. I believe the correct word is wholeheartedly, but nevertheless, there you go. All right. Folks, why do you send your kids to these public universities? Seriously, why do you do it? Are they really getting anything out of their education? I mean, you send little Marcus to school. He comes home Marge by, the fall break. I mean, it's just very sad. I am wondering what exactly it is that they are learning at the public university. Unbelievable. But this is what's happening across America. I want to share this with you. There's a big controversy within the halls of Congress about loan forgiveness. Now, I suspect that many of you who went to college, you ended up having to take out loans. Some of you went to school and you took out a loan and you got a job. Maybe you got two jobs. Some of you may have even gotten three jobs. And you had to pay off your student loans. That was your obligation, right? When you go to school, when you take out a loan, you have an obligation to pay back that loan. I suspect many of you, if you are going to get a house in Grace Baker, you're a newlywed, and I suspect one of these days you and Mr. Producer are going to want to buy a house together.
Yes, and I want to get Merlo a nice big backyard.
A nice backyard.
So, yes.
But you live in, so I guess you rent now, is that right?
I do,
but
yeah.
But you're what? You're saving up?
Oh, yes. We want to get a property soon.
So you want to be able to either build or buy something that's already out there, as long as there's a big backyard.
Exactly.
How would you feel if, and again, let's just say you have a neighbor, and the neighbor wants to buy a house, and they bought a house. They couldn't afford that house, but they bought the house anyway. They get in financial trouble. And the government steps in one day and says, you know what? We're just going to forgive all those loans. Now, there you are. You scrimped and you scraped and you saved every single penny so that you could buy that house, that dream house of yours. Your money, your sacrifice. And yet this other person, your next door neighbor, they didn't do that. They went down to the Chick-fil-A every day. They spent their money on this and that, and now they're expecting you to foot the bill for their mortgage.
Bought the expensive $6 Starbucks coffee every day.
I suspect you would be perturbed.
I would be, just a little bit.
Well, I suspect that is how many Americans feel with these students who are taking out these loans. They can't afford these loans.
No.
They can't afford to go to the fancy schools.
$30,000 a semester.
By the way, some of these private schools are a lot more expensive than that. I know a Baptist school within the driving distance that's like $40,000.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's insane. But you know what? And if you can afford it, great. More power to
go for it.
Have at it. One of the things I loved about working at Fox News, I went to a small Christian school in the Deep South. Didn't pay all that much money. But you know what, Grace? I got to Fox News.
Yeah, I mean, heck.
And many of those people that I worked with went to Harvard and Yale and are mortgaged out the wazoo, and they're going to be paying off those loans forever.
I mean, I'm sitting debt-free and went to a public university, and I turned out working for you, which, not too shabby.
Not too shabby. Not too shabby. So now President Biden, ladies and gentlemen, has announced they are extending, they're putting a pause on student loan repayments. Now, Virginia Fox is very upset about all of this. Hardworking taxpayers are fed up with having their backs broken by this administration. The outrageous extension of this moratorium contradicts the administration's promise to the American public and without any basis other than the president's sinking poll numbers. And that's exactly why he's doing this. But there are a lot of Republicans that are now concerned that this could lead, this temporary pause could lead to a complete eradication. In other words, a complete forgiveness of loan debt. Now, if you had the choice, let's just say that you want to go to Yale because you want to be a business leader, all right? So you go to Yale, you're hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. You can't afford that, but you want to go to Yale. And they decide, okay, we're going to let you go to Yale. Meanwhile, you could have gone to a local community college or a local school and paid a fraction of the price. You would have been able to pay off your loans in a couple of years, and you could have gotten on with your life. But it was a choice you made. It was a bad choice. You're an idiot. What can I say? But if you're a young person and you go to a public university, you have tens of thousands of dollars in student loan debt, that's on you. Why should I have to pay for it? Why should I have to pay for your mistake? And Governor Mike Huckabee, just a few moments ago, weighing in on this on Twitter, and he brings up a really good point. Okay, fine. Are we going to start repaying the debts and forgiving the debts of everybody who bought a house and can't afford to pay for the mortgage? Is that what we're going to do? What about all you people out there that went out there and you bought a really nice car? One of those battery-powered cars. You know you can't afford a $60,000 car, but by golly, you bought one. Are we supposed to now step in as taxpayers and cover your loan? I mean, that's obscene, but there are people out there that actually believe that. They believe that we have some sort of an obligation. I don't know. Is it a reparation? I don't know, because this affects people of all colors. because there are morons of all colors. There are stupid people of all flavors. The governor says, wipe out student loans. Why stop there? Car loans, home loans, appliance loans, gambling loans, Christmas layaway purchases. Why do Dems want to give money to college-educated elites when many single moms can't afford gas and groceries thanks to Joe's policies? It's a great question. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, because the election is coming up, and Joe Biden's numbers are just, they're gone. They're tanked. And Joe Biden could very well announce, you know what, folks? Every young person, anybody who has student loan debt, if you vote for the Democrats in November, we're going to erase your debt. He could do that. He could do that. But I'm curious about you. Many of you had to work many jobs. You had to make great personal sacrifice to get your education. There was a price to pay, and you paid that price. But I'm telling you, folks, this is coming down the pike, and you better get ready, and it's not right. If you can't afford to go to, if you can't afford the fancy Italian restaurant, what do? You go to Kroger, and you get some Chef Boyardee. That's what you do. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Our website, again, toddsterns.com. And folks, while you are on the website, I want you to check out a great website, mypillow.com/Starnes. That's mypillow.com/Starnes. My good friend Mike Lindell offering some incredible Easter deals. And Mike is going to give you a free gift. No matter what you purchase, you will get a free gift only if you use my promo code Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S. The Easter sale includes my pillows. You're going to get them as low as $19.98 with my promo code. Also, the beautiful MyPillow towel set, the MyPillow dog beds, just $19.99, a great Easter flash sale, and the awesome My Slippers. I love those things. By the way, they even have pet blankets, and you're going to save 30% off the all-new MyPillow pet blankets. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use my promo code Starnes, and Mike is going to give you, is going to send you a free copy of his book. You're going to love this book, and it comes free with your purchases. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, let's get right to the phones here, people. 844-747-8868. Doug, welcome to the program. What is on your mind?
Good bumper music there. I gotta say, that sounds pretty cool. Hey, you know, down in Georgia, if you're a hard-working student, you can obtain a thing called the Hope Scholarship. So you work really hard and you save a lot of money. Well, my son, who treated me really well by doing that, pointed that out. He goes, well, this is really great, isn't it? Now all these kids who kind of maybe even sloughed off, got their loans, they're getting a free handout. So I hope all these woke youngsters realize what they're doing.
Well, and Doug, I believe in Tennessee they have something called the Hope Scholarship as well. I think they use the lottery money to fund that thing. And to your point, though, I mean, what message is that sending to these kids who are busting their butts? They're doing what they've got to do to get that scholarship money, and then they turn around, and it's just like the immigration issue. You've got people trying to do things the right way, and those folks always get shoved to the back of the line so the illegals can take advantage. And that's what's going to happen here in the education system.
You know, Todd, the best thing we can do is what I did to Grace. I said, you're a hardworking example of a successful person. And every time I meet a kid who's doing something above average, I tell them. And I think we have to tell the producers that they aren't moochers. And we have to salute them and thank them because they are the next generation. And these other kids, and let me tell you, I've got a family where I've got a couple on the other side, and I won't go into it today. And, I mean, I've seen the full spectrum. And so anyway, there are still hundreds, I mean, millions of wonderful people in this country. But we got to start telling them they're wonderful.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're doing a good job of it, too.
Well,
and Grace, what a wonderful kid.
Yeah, well, you're kind to say that. Yeah, we seem to think so, too. We like her. She's a keeper. She's a keeper.
You keep it up.
All right, thanks for the call. Grace, you got a lot of fans out there.
They're just nice people. They're just being nice, especially the Southerners. You know that Southern hospitality.
Those are the ones you let through.
I see a lot of them.
A lot of people don't get on, and I'm like, I wonder what those people.
Yeah, because you can see the phone lines.
I see them
go drop, 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 and I'll look at you and I'll shake my head like, nope.
Let's go to Pastor John in Kentucky. Hey, Pastor, what's going on?
I got a nickname for Miss Grace. Grace, the guardian of the gate.
Oh, the Guardian of the Gate. Guardian of the Galaxy. Oh, that's a movie.
Okay. That's a compliment for you, Ms. Grace. Hey, Todd, you know what? You were talking about everybody expecting them to pay off their student loan. Well, then, you know what? You have to earn your way. This country owes these people nothing. The only thing it guarantees them is to become anything you want, and you're a living, breathing example of achieving something that you always wanted to do. And I guess the best example of people that earn their right to go to college are the countless veterans and active duty personnel, you know, save the ones that are woke, are the ones that are earning their right to earn an education. So while those people are complaining at Harvard because they're making million, you know, because they owe so much money, well, you know what? Too bad, so sad, oh, wah, get a life. You are going to school on the shoulders of the brave men and women that makes possible. So you can go to school. And I'll hang up and listen for your commentary, Todd. God bless you, and God bless the Guardian.
All right. Well, all right. Thank you, Pastor John. All right. Look, back in the day, you know, our grandparents, great-grandparents, when they went to college, I mean, it was a struggle. It was a sacrifice. I remember a story of a guy who, this was right around the turn of the last century, and actually walked a couple of hundred miles to college and brought one of the family cows, the dairy cow, so he would be able to have fresh milk, and then he would sell that milk so he could pay his tuition. I mean, it was the kids today are just, I don't know, some of these woke snowflakes are just wimpy. They'd never be able to make it.
Okay, I got to call you out just a bit. You sound like every grandpa ever that goes, back in my day, we trudged through the blizzard to school, and we got up with the cows and fed them and milked them, and then we walked all the way to school with a tornado on the horizon.
But that's they did. They did.
I think y'all exaggerate just a bit.
Wait, so you think that you've got it just as hard as the grandparents and the great-grandparents?
Not saying that. It's like, you know, I have it as some badge of honor, though. Like, wow, we have modern transportation, and it's a great thing.
Well, yeah, but then try not having transportation, and it's a whole different story.
I didn't say that it wasn't difficult. I just say y'all wear it as a badge of honor and like to, like, throw it in our faces. It's like, do you want me to walk to work every day? Because I guess I could do that.
No, I'm just saying that there was a guy who could not afford college, so he had to bring his dairy cow with him to college.
Well, hey.
And he sold milk.
There you go.
And he paid.
You got to do what you got to do.
There were no loans back in the day.
No. You could loan a cow, but not thousands of dollars. Never loan someone your cow.
Wait a second.
It's not a good idea.
Did you just call me grandpa?
No, I just said you sound like every grandpa ever.
Is that true, ladies and gentlemen? Is that true? I want you to call and give Grace Baker a very difficult time. 844-747-8868. Grace, I think you may have stepped in it. I'm just saying.
You mean stepped in cow manure, perhaps?
Something of that nature. 844-747-8868. Here, it is getting hot here in the Liberty University studios. All right, we're going to be taking a break here. By the way, Mother's Day, right around the corner. And I want you to get your mom or your grandma or your aunt or auntie or aunt, I want you to get them a copy of my brand new book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. Everybody who reads this book wants to know when the sequel is coming out. 844-747-8868 if you want to call. If you want to buy the book, go to toddstarns.com. Click on the store tab at the very top. I will personally autograph a copy of the book for your mom, your grandma, whoever. But you got to order one. Get those orders in early. So we really want to get those orders in early so we can make sure everybody gets their gift by Mother's Day. Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl, available right now at toddstarns.com. We don't know what Chuckie Schumer was rubbing, but folks, I just want to, we're going to play this audio, and we have little context other than Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, rubbed another man's head.
And when we're really getting into it, I rub his nice little shaved head.
I'm not sure about man protocol. Actually, I'm pretty darn sure. You don't rub another man's head in public like that. I don't know what. Can we play that just one more time?
And when we're really getting into it, I rub his nice little shaved head.
We don't judge here on the Todd Starnes radio program. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. I guess I should really apologize to our next guest, Congressman Mark Wayne Mullen from Oklahoma's 2nd Congressional District. Democrats get a little freaky up there on Capitol Hill, Congressman.
Well, evidently there's something going on. I mean, you got Chuck Schumer that's rubbing bald heads, and then you have a president who likes to smell women's hair. I don't get that.
and caress his leg hair. Don't forget about that one.
I'm trying to. I appreciate you bringing that visual back, Todd. Now I'm going to have to go back to therapy.
There you go. Congressman, always great to have you on. We have a lot of listeners in your congressional district and all good people. A couple of big stories that I know that you're right in the middle of. You have introduced a resolution to expunge President Trump's first impeachment. And I think this is a brilliant thing you're doing, and I want you to explain to our listeners why you're doing it.
Well, first of all, we all knew that Nancy Pelosi was abusing our Constitution by trying to impeach President Trump over a perfectly good phone call between President Trump and President Zelensky, who was new, both of them new in office at the time. And everybody knew it was political. There wasn't one single time that they ever proved misdemeanor or high crimes. And they did exactly what our founding fathers was afraid of, that the impeachment process would be used for political purposes. And they warned the House. They warned the people about that. And so what we're trying to do is go back and, you know, you can't totally erase it, but you can expunge it and say, listen, there was no misdemeanor. There was no high crime. The bar that you had set saying that there was a smoking gun, there was a smoking mirror, that there was a phone call between the two that proved that the president was trying to coerce another country into doing him a political favor, that they were going to reveal it because of a whistleblower. And then to come to find out, the president goes out and releases the transcript of it, the whole transcript, which was brilliant. And there it was nothing to it, other than the fact that the president was simply trying to make sure that the American taxpayer dollars were not being used for corrupt purposes. Because remember, President Zelensky himself ran on the fact that he was going to try cleaning up the corruption that happens in Ukraine. Fast forward to what we are dealing with today. Now this Hunter Biden laptop has been proven that it was true, which we all knew it was true, even though you had Facebook and Twitter pulling everybody's posts down, saying that they were trying to put out misinformation. And but now we know it's true. We know that Biden himself in 2018 went out and bragged about doing the exact same thing that the Democrats accused President Trump of doing. And so what we're saying is let's go back and look at this. This is the only time this has ever happened that we go back and try to expunge something that Congress has done, either in the House or in the Senate. Was in 1834 against Andrew Jackson when the Senate censored at that time President Jackson. And in 1837, the Senate went back and said, you know, look, this was for political purposes only. And they went back and expunged that censorship. What we're going back doing is saying the same thing. Is we're expunging a politically impeached president and saying we're going to write history and never allow something like this to ever take place again.
It requires a lot of effort on the part of the American people to understand what's been happening in this country with the fake news and how the Democrats have used some very important functions of government to basically declare war on President Trump. And so much of what has been reported has been flat out false. And it has been proven false. And Congressman, I think this is why what you're doing is so important. We've got to set the record straight for history.
Absolutely. And the Democrats have absolutely abused power, knowing good and well they were doing it. But they were so dug in because of their hatred towards the president that they took away the fact that they were eroding the fabric of our country. And we can't allow that stuff to stand. You can't do that just because you disagree with somebody. The Republicans would have loved to impeached Obama. We would have loved to done that. Believe me, I was in office with the guy. There would have been nothing more than I would love to have done to impeach Obama, but I wasn't willing to do it for political purposes. I wanted him to do something that was impeachable. And the same thing with Biden. If we can prove that he's done something impeachable, I would love to impeach him, but I would never impeach him for political purposes. However, impeaching Biden is like dancing with the devil, because then you get stuck with Harris. I don't know which one is honestly worse at that point. But you should never use your position for political gain. You are still representing the American people. Regardless, you're still representing them. And our founding fathers always warned us of this. And the Democrats have went way beyond even representing the American people. They are now trying to change the fabric of our country, and then at the same time trying to impose socialism on us.
No doubt about it.
That absolutely cannot happen.
All right, Congressman Mark Wayne Mullen on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. He represents Oklahoma's 2nd Congressional District, now running for the U.S. Senate. Congressman, you penned an essay on what's happening at the border. You say that the president's repeal of Title 42 is unforgivable. Why do you say that?
Listen, it's the only tool left for Border Patrol agents to protect the American people from the national security risk that's taken place in our border. The president has repealed every single executive order that President Trump put in place when he was in office that lowered the illegal crossings to the lowest levels we had seen in years. Since then, we have seen nothing but crisis after crisis on our southern border. We're at a 26-year high for non-deporting illegals. We're at a record high of fentanyl coming across our border. We've already apprehended more than 11,000 pounds of fentanyl, which is, by the way, enough fentanyl in the country to kill every single American. And understand, fentanyl is coming not just from Mexico, but it's actually flowing into Mexico from China. I probably would say there's a national security risk there. And then we have apprehended 11 individuals on the terrorist watch list that have come across our southern border, and every one of them was being held underneath Title 42 for 2 or 3 days before we were received the information that they were on the terrorist watch list. Without Title 42, they would have simply been released into the public and given a date to show up, which only about 5%. I don't know the exact number, but it's very low. It's less than 10% of the people actually show back up for the court hearing. Go figure, right? And what Title 42 was designed for was underneath the health crisis. It was designed because we were trying to keep COVID at the time from spreading inside the United States. Now the Democrats are saying they never have liked Title 42 because they're not for border security at all. They want open borders, and they will tell you that. That's what they're for. They aren't even for amnesty. They want open borders now, completely open borders, not worry about it at all. But Title 42 was put in place for the health pandemic. Well, while they're trying to end Title 42, at the same time, they're asking the American taxpayers to say, hey, listen, we're still in a COVID crisis. We need an additional $15 billion. Oh, and by the way, you still got to wear masks when you're on an airplane. Either we're in a crisis or we're not in a crisis. So don't make political decisions, but that's all the Democrats do. They don't put the American people first. They're all about making political decisions that they think speak to their base.
No doubt about it. And Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Good intel. We have links to your essay on ToddStarnes.com, the live show blog, everybody. You can find it there. Congressman, good luck to you out there on the campaign trail.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for letting me come on your show.
All right, Congressman Mark Wayne Mullen from Oklahoma, and you folks out in Tulsa, Bartlesville, you guys know him very well. Speaking of COVID, this item just in. The Attorney General, Merrick Garland, has now tested positive for the China virus. Now, what's interesting is that the Attorney General is fully vaccinated and fully boosted, but he still came down with the China virus. There you go.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, Grace Baker mocking all of you old people.
That is so not true.
No, it is true.
And one of the people who was going to defend me, she hung up, so.
Because you mocked old people.
No, I'm just saying. It's,
you know,
just a bit of an exaggeration.
Back in 2010,
that
make me an old person now?
Oh, boy.
I had to walk 8 miles in a blizzard to get to Fox News. It's
really?
True. I did. My editor said, "Can you go live at the top of each hour?" Honest to goodness, I did.
Got to do what you got to do.
It was 10 feet of snow. It was terrible in some places.
10 feet
the
of
drifts,
snow.
The drifts were.
I
think it was
say,
like.
Were you like?
It was 4 to 5 feet, but
cave?
You couldn't get anywhere. It was horrible.
But you made it.
Mm-hmm. You know who? By the way, Rob, I want to go to Rob, Central Arkansas. Rob, were you offended by Grace?
Well, a little bit. I am a grandpa, and in 1976, we moved from Florida to Anchorage, Alaska.
Whoa.
And I was in the sixth grade and walked uphill both ways in the snow to school.
Grace, this is the 1970s, okay? We had power and electricity.
My parents were born in 1976.
Oh, for heaven's sake. You see, Rob, you see what I got to work with around here?
I'm sorry.
Love you guys.
Thanks, Rob. I'm glad you're okay. But, you know, to Rob's point, this is fascinating. When I moved to New York City, the only connection I had to snowfall was when it would, you know, spit snow here in Memphis, which is, it's a big deal because you get like an inch of snow that shuts down the city.
Well, we don't exactly have great, infrastructure for
snow
such
plows.
A storm. Yes.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
And we get ice storms more here.
So I had just moved to New York. It would have been in September. So the winter rolls around and we got like 6 inches or a foot of snow. And I'm looking outside and I'm like, what is going on out there? The kids were walking to school in the snow.
Oh, man. If there's even a threat of snow, they shut down the schools. They're like, pick up your kids, you know, half day, go home, and they go ahead and call school the next day.
We had the tornado outbreak a couple of last week, and they shut down the schools early.
Yep. My brother went home half day.
I remember as a kid, back when I was a kid, Grace Baker.
Here we go.
That's right. We were tough. We had to.
You had to tough it out.
We had to tough it out. We were, if the tornado hit the school, we were going with the school.
And you had to turn on the TV and wait for that little ticker to show your school.
All right. No, there were no tickers when I was growing up.
Oh,
we had
radio?
We had something called the radio.
So you had to listen. You couldn't just check social media.
And that's what made it so bad. And you folks might remember this back when we only had 4 television channels. And one of those was PBS. One of those was PBS, so that doesn't really count. And Grace, we had to sit there and wait, and the weather guy would read the list of school closures, and you would wait and wait, and I guarantee you people in the audience know exactly what I'm talking about.
And if you missed it, you had to wait until they said it again.
You had to say it again.
Did I hear Shelby, or was that something else?
Oh, it was brutal as a kid.
Very stressful.
Very stressful as a kid. But I remember, like, when the tornado warnings came, they would not dismiss school if bad weather was coming. You would get in the hallway, and you would have to duck and cover. That's also, by the way, how you would survive a nuclear blast.
Fair enough.
Just hide under your desk.
Multi-purpose.
That's, yeah.
Those desks, man.
They're made to last, clearly. The only thing left in the nuclear explosion is going to be the school desks. All right, let's go to the phones here. Pat, North Carolina. Pat, what are we talking about?
We're talking about where's Waldo?
Where is Waldo?
I don't know. He was looking. Oh, my what? God, embarrassing. This guy is the leader of the. Oh, my God.
Oh, we're talking about Biden?
What the hell is going on here?
You got me. I've been asking that since the show started, Pat.
You know. I, by the way, tell Grace I love her.
Hey, Grace, Pat loves you.
Love you too, Pat.
And now I'm 62 years old, and I know what you're talking about there, Todd, because tell her I've been through the same thing, but I didn't walk through the snow like that. But I'm really, originally from New Jersey, moved to North Carolina, and guess what?
What's that, Pat?
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, New Jersey was loaded with snow. I come down to North Carolina, they get an inch, and they're all, like, going like crazy.
It's true.
But anyway, I want to get back to Where's Waldo. That was so sad. He looked like the guy the kid on the playground where nobody wanted to talk to him.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But talking about Biden yesterday, that was really sad. I felt bad for the guy. I just genuinely felt bad.
I felt bad for him, but you know what? He is a mean son of a... God forgive me. I don't like him. And everything's going to come into play. His son's going to get it. Hillary's going to get it. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody say, oh, Durham's taking a long time. You know what Durham's doing? He's doing the right thing. He's not rushing into it. He's going to make sure he gets every player.
That's it. That's it, Pat.
Hit it.
You're right.
He's going to hit it.
All right, Pat, speaking of hitting it, we gotta hit this break here, Pat. God bless you, and thanks for that. Oh, my goodness, what a crazy show today. Folks, we're going to do this all over again tomorrow. If you missed some of the great interviews, all you got to do is go get our podcast, download it. You're going to love it. Got, 1.3 million people now downloading the Todd Stearns Radio Show podcast. And we thank every single one of you. All right, get out there. Have a great day, America.